Hi, I'm Joel Barker, and I'd like to welcome you to today's session on Microsoft Windows Server 2008 Product Workload Scenarios. Today, we'll discuss how Windows Server 2008 addresses key deployment scenarios for customers. Let's take a look at what we'll be covering in today's session. First, we will discuss the key product workload scenarios for Windows Server 2008. We will cover as many as 10 different scenarios and discuss how each scenario can be categorized into one of three different design pillars. Now, while examining the scenarios, we will be taking a closer look at the specific technologies used within the scenario, how they're used, and why they're needed. We'll learn which technologies comprise each and the value propositions that they deliver. Finally, we'll see how the scenario adds value to Windows Server 2008 and, in some cases, review example real-world usages of the scenario. Through examples and demonstrations, we'll really get a chance to see the value that Windows Server 2008 brings to your most important scenarios. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Now, while we'll explain all the new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To assist you, we've listed the areas out that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Previous experience with Windows Server 2003 will help you see the improvements that have been made to Windows Server 2008. Several of the scenarios deal with server roles such as Active Directory, File Server, and Terminal Server. An understanding of server roles will help when viewing this session. Knowledge of backup and restore is not required, but will help when discussing some of the scenarios. To cover the scenarios and keep them organized in a logical manner, we've divided the session into two main areas. We'll first start with a brief introduction of the Windows Server 2008 product workload scenarios. We'll discuss the three different design pillars in which they can be categorized. After we've discussed the design of the scenarios, we will examine each scenario in detail. The move to Windows Server 2008 can help you realize a more efficient and automated environment. We're able to measure and help you map out these improvements with the infrastructure optimization model. The infrastructure optimization model from Microsoft helps customers understand and subsequently improve the current state of their IT infrastructure and what that means in terms of cost, security risk, and operational agility. Dramatic cost savings can be realized by moving from a basic, unmanaged environment towards a dynamic environment. Security improves from the highly vulnerable in a basic infrastructure to dynamically proactive in a more mature infrastructure. Microsoft Windows Server 2008 enables many new security, management, and automation features that can help you to move more easily towards a dynamic and people-ready environment. Let's take a look at how the product workload scenarios can be categorized. The product workload scenarios we'll be covering today fit into one of three pillars: more control, greater flexibility, and increased protection. The more control pillar includes scenarios that will help IT administrators be more efficient by spending less time on management, maintenance, and troubleshooting tasks. The greater flexibility pillar is for scenarios that help you to quickly respond to your changing business needs. In terms of increased protection, we're not only trying to improve security, but also reliability. We've mapped the Windows Server 2008 scenarios to these three design pillars. You'll notice on the following slides one of the three icons in the upper right corner of each slide, showing which pillar the scenario fits into. The only exception is the branch office scenario. It does not fit into any one pillar, but rather all three. So let's move on to the next item on the agenda, reviewing product workload scenarios. Let's take a closer look at each individual scenario. We'll examine what technologies are used and how they add value to Windows Server 2008. The server management scenario focuses on tools, technologies, and installation options that are available for use on Windows Server 2008 to improve the management experience of single and multiple servers across an enterprise. For local administration of a single server, Server Manager is an integrated Microsoft management console that offers IT professionals an integrated experience for adding, removing, and configuring server roles, role services, and features. It also acts as a portal for ongoing server management, monitoring, and operations by exposing the key management tasks that are based on server roles. In larger enterprises, management of multiple servers can be automated using Windows PowerShell. Windows PowerShell is a new command line shell and scripting language designed specifically to automate administration tasks for server roles such as IIS and Active Directory. IT professionals can also use the Windows Remote Shell or WinRS tool to remotely manage servers or to obtain management data through Windows Remote Management or WinRM and Windows Management Instrumentation, the familiar WMI objects, on remote servers. WinRM is a new remote access protocol that is based on the DMTF standard web services for management. Server Core provides a minimal installation option for certain server roles, offering a smaller server footprint and attack surface to reduce management and servicing needs. The Server Manager allows you to complete initial configuration of a local server through a single interface, to add and remove server roles and features more securely and reliably, and to view the status and to perform local management tasks. You can even automate administration of multiple servers with task-based scripting languages, accelerate the script authoring, and perform testing and debugging in a new command shell. You'll also be able to perform local and remote server management through multiple data stores. Overall, management and servicing needs are reduced, while reliability and security are improved. Let's take a closer look at Server Manager. In this demonstration, we will look at Server Manager features. The domain controller we will be using today has Microsoft Windows Server Longhorn installed. This server has several different roles installed for our Contoso domain. We'll take a closer look at these roles as we go through the session. One thing we'll notice when we first log on is that the Server Manager window opens right away. The Server Manager provides a single source for managing a server's identity and system information, displaying server status and health, identifying problems with server role configuration, and managing all the roles installed on the server. Server Manager replaces several features included with Windows Server 2003, including the Manager Server, Security Configuration Wizard, Configure Your Server, and Add or Remove Windows Components. The consolidation of these features helps the administrator by increasing their productivity and efficiency through enabling them to perform many different administration tasks through this single interface. The hierarchy pane of the Server Manager console contains expandable nodes that you can use to go directly to consoles for managing specific roles, troubleshooting tools, or backup and disaster recovery options. The Server Summary section gives you an overview of some of the basic server properties, such as the fully qualified domain name and its IP address. If we click the Change System Properties link, the System Properties dialog box opens, the same that you would see if you were to right-click My Computer and select Properties. Server Manager View allows you to make changes to server roles and features installed on the server. We'll come back to this shortly to show you how managing server roles has improved since Windows Server 2003. But for now, note that there are six roles installed on this Contoso server: Active Directory Domain Services, DNS Server, File Services, Network Policy and Access Services, Terminal Services, and Web Server, or IIS. On a fresh installation of Windows Server Longhorn, no additional features are installed. This helps to reduce the attack surface area by ensuring that only the services and features that you specifically need and request are installed. However, our server has three features that were installed by our Terminal Services role. The Server Manager console allows you to view and manage virtually all of the information that affects server productivity and health. Under the Manage Roles node, there is a group for each of the installed roles on this server. Under the Active Directory Domain Services node are two familiar Microsoft Management Console snap-ins, available directly from Server Manager: the Active Directory Users and Computers and the Active Directory Sites and Services consoles. Similarly, we can manage DNS the same way from Service Manager. Expanding the DNS Server node takes us to the DNS Server console, where all aspects of DNS can be managed. Server Manager also allows you to perform management tasks associated with the operational lifecycle of the server, such as starting or stopping services, determining server health status, identifying critical events, and analyzing and troubleshooting configuration issues or failures. The Event Viewer is another area that has been improved and made more robust. Contoso administrators will be able to quickly and easily see the number and severity of events that have occurred within the last hour, 24 hours, or week, as well as a total of all logged events. If we double-click an event type, such as Warning Level, we can see that Event Viewer further categorizes the events by source. So, if you are interested in finding all DNS warning events that occurred in the last 24 hours, you'd quickly be able to see these here without setting up any custom filtering. However, if you did want to create a persistent log view to automatically filter only the events in which you're interested, you can easily do so with custom views. Custom views are similar to filter lists that you may have used in previous versions of Windows Event Viewer, but they can be saved, exported, or imported to other systems. So we'll create a custom view that shows warning or higher severity level events that have occurred within the last 24 hours. You can add as many logs as you'd like, but keep in mind that the more you add, the longer it will take for Windows to parse the results. We'll keep it simple and stick with the DNS server example that we mentioned earlier. Next, we'll enter a name and a description to make this custom view easy to identify. Now, if there are any warning, error, or critical events generated by the DNS server service, we're just a click away from viewing any such events that may have occurred within the last 24 hours. So let's move on and continue to explore the features and uses of Server Manager. From the Configuration node, you can access system configuration tools such as Task Scheduler, Windows Firewall, and WMI Control. Storage, backup, and restore operations can also be managed directly from the Server Manager. The Server Manager really simplifies management tasks by letting you get an overview of the status of the server, perform top management tasks, and add or remove server roles and features all from one single location. The server virtualization scenario focuses on the virtualization role of Windows Server 2008. And enables IT organizations to reduce costs and create an agile and dynamic data center. The virtualization role provides an entirely new deployment and licensing paradigm to enable multiple operating system instances from both Microsoft and third-party operating system vendors to run in a virtual infrastructure separated from the hardware by a slim hypervisor of virtualization technology. The technologies that enable virtualization are comprised of Windows Server Virtualization and Server Core. Server virtualization on Server Core provides a very slim hypervisor and a smaller server footprint, creating greater system reliability, a reduced attack surface, reduced driver requirements, and an environment that is easier to manage and maintain. Server virtualization provides several benefits. Through server consolidation, you can maximize hardware utilization and consolidate the workloads to reduce the costs. Developers and testers can create more flexible environments that reduce the costs and improve lifecycle management. You can also eliminate the impact of downtime and enable disaster recovery abilities. Finally, With server virtualization, we can create a more agile infrastructure with new management capabilities to move virtual machines without much effort. So we asked several customers what their plans for server virtualization are, and we received several project descriptions. One customer, who's grappling with server sprawl in a heavily constrained data center facility where power and rack space are at capacity, will use server virtualization to efficiently use their limited physical space. The purpose of the project is to minimize the number of physical servers through virtualization. They need to replace old and slow servers with new ones, and by using virtualization, they won't need to buy as many new servers. Another customer is very well known for building client-specific MSI packages. This requires a specific virtual environment that mimics their client's environment. Rapid deployment of the virtualized environment is essential for efficiently building these packages. The centralized application access scenario provides secure anywhere access to business applications. With terminal services in Windows Server 2008, customers can provide access to applications centralized and secured in the data center to both remote and network-based users. Terminal services ensures a consistent application experience. Furthermore, performance can be obtained irrespective of the user location. Terminal services gateway allows you access beyond the corporate network. Terminal services remote programs allows you to deploy remote programs to users' desktops. Terminal services web access allows you to use remote programs through a web client. Centralized application access provides centralized access to business applications over the Internet. Another added value is that it will remove the risk of data loss from laptops by using secure remote access to centrally located applications and data. Centralized application access will also reduce the management costs by removing the need for application servers at distributed locations. It also provides secure access to terminal services without needing to enable full network access via VPN or other mechanisms. And finally, you can consolidate existing terminal servers using X64 technology. As an example, if a customer would like to reduce maintenance and upkeep costs for their financial application, they could use Longhorn Terminal Services to roll out the client suite of applications. This will reduce the complexity and cost for delivery and maintenance of this suite of application. In the next demonstration, we'll take a look at this in action. In this demonstration, we will configure TS remote programs, create an RDP file, and configure and use TS Gateway. Let's take a look at the remote programs. Windows Server Longhorn Terminal Services, or TS Remote Programs, provides the ability to run both local and remotely hosted programs on a Windows desktop. These programs will be fully integrated with the local computer, having their own resizable windows and taskbar entries. The overview section of TS Remote App Manager allows you to quickly view or change the current terminal server, TS Gateway, TS Web Access, and other related settings. The Remote App section lists all current applications that have been added to the TS Remote App Manager. Let's add a remote program to the list. Clicking Add Remote Programs in the Actions pane launches the Remote Programs wizard. This wizard helps you add programs to the terminal server. When programs are in the list, you can package them for distribution, display them in a TS Web Access, or limit the terminal server to launching only these programs remotely. Next, the computer is enumerating the Start menu and examining all of the applications that are installed on Windows Server Longhorn. The wizard has displayed the applications that we might be interested in using as remote programs. If for some reason the application isn't exposed on the global Start menu, or perhaps because it only has a per-user icon, then by using the Browse button we could manually navigate to any application that we want. For this demonstration, we're going to use WordPad and Paint. Once the wizard is finished, WordPad appears in the remote programs list. The Properties dialog box will allow us to change some of the properties of the program. For example, we can change the location of the program. Or we can determine if it should be made available through TS Web Access. We also have the ability to pass command line arguments. If you allow command line arguments, then users can create their own RDP files and pass command line arguments. By default, this option is disabled. To enable remote programs, you need to create and distribute an RDP or remote desktop file. The RDP file can also be distributed by including it in a Windows Installer package, an MSI file. The Create Windows Installer Package Wizard can help you to package installed programs as MSI files for distribution using group policy. The advantage of the MSI is that when you install the program, a shortcut is placed on the desktop or on the Start menu. However, you can simply create a native RDP file if your users are comfortable using them. The default save location, the packaged programs folder, can be changed. The current terminal server settings are shown and can be changed for the RDP. You can also change the TS gateway settings and the certificate settings. The final page of the wizard, Review Settings, shows us a summary of our options. Clicking Finish will create the RDP file, which is then placed in the location we specified on the first page of the wizard. Upon completion, the wizard opens up the location where the package was created. The Packaged Programs folder now contains our WordPad RDP file. Let's move back to our Windows Vista client computer, which now has unrestricted access to the network. We'll open a shortcut that will take us to the Packaged Programs folder on the TS server and drag the remote WordPad RDP file to the local desktop. Let's start the remote program. First, we'll need to supply appropriate access credentials. This trust works two ways. We need to validate our credentials with the server to which we are connecting, but we must also confirm that we trust the remote computer to have access to these credentials and connected devices. This is one of the new secure dialog boxes that have been integrated with the Credential Manager, so passwords are no longer saved in the RDP file. A connection to the terminal server is then established. By clicking the Details button, we can see what is actually happening in terms of the logon session, what is actually shown on the desktop that is being prepared in the background. This stops users from wondering if something is happening or not, or if the network is slow, for example. More importantly, administrators can ask them to click the Details button to see if there are any messages that might help with troubleshooting. Microsoft WordPad opens, and it is running remotely on the terminal server. So that shows how remote programs work, but we still have a lot to talk about. Let's get out of WordPad. As we mentioned earlier, passwords are no longer saved in the RDP file. If we edit the RDP file, we can see that we will be asked for credentials every time we connect. Next, let's look at the new Terminal Services Gateway features. Terminal Services Gateway is comprised of two elements. One element tunnels RDP over HTTPS from the client, and the other is a server that sits in the perimeter network, also known as a DMZ, or behind a firewall, and allows you to receive incoming connections. Many people wonder when they should use TS in place of a VPN. The simple answer is that TS is more appropriate when you want to provide access to terminal services-based applications, but don't want to provide access to the whole network for the person dialing in. The TS Gateway Manager Snap-in Console enables you to configure authorization policies to define conditions that must be met for users to connect to network resources. Before we delve into the usage of the TS Gateway server, let's examine the configuration checklist. This checklist lists the tasks that you need to complete to successfully configure TS Gateway for the TS Gateway core scenario. First, we add the TS Gateway role service. When the service is installed, a certificate must be obtained for the TS Gateway server. This can also be done during the install process, which is what we have done. Terminal Services Connection Authorization Policies, or TS CAPs, allow you to specify who can connect to a TS Gateway server. You can specify a user group that exists in the local TS Gateway server or in Active Directory Domain Services. Users are granted access to a TS Gateway server if they meet the conditions specified in the TS CAP. Terminal Services Resource Authorization Policies, or TS RAPs, allow you to specify the network resources that users can connect to remotely through a TS Gateway server. Users connecting to the network through a TS Gateway server are granted access to remote computers on the corporate network if they meet the conditions specified in at least one TS CAP and one TS RAP. Finally, after configuring a TS CAP and a TS RAP, we must configure the client. We will see how to configure the client in a moment. However, before we do that, let's take a closer look at the connection and resources authorization policies. The TS Gateway Server Status view allows you to see the connection and configuration status of a specific server. In this view of the SEADC01 server, we can see any policies that have been created. Let's create a new TS CAP and TS RAP for our server. As we have said, a TS CAP allows you to specify the users who can connect to the TS Gateway server, and a TS RAP allows you to specify the network resources that users can connect to. Until a TS CAP and a TS RAP have been created, users can't connect to network resources through the TS Gateway server. Our first step in creating a connection authorization policy is to give it a name. By using connection authorization policies, you can specify conditions that must be met by remote users to access a TS Gateway server in a perimeter network. You can specify whether clients must use smart card authentication or password authentication to access remote computers on your corporate network through a TS Gateway server. When both of these options are selected, clients that use either authentication method are allowed to connect. You can also specify that the client computer from which the user is connecting must be a member of a specific domain, such as in our example, domain users. By requiring that the computer be a member of a specific domain, you can exclude users who are attempting to connect to the corporate network from kiosks, airport computers, or home computers that are not trusted by the corporate network domain. To enhance security when clients are connecting to the network through TS Gateway, you can also specify whether to disable client device redirection for all devices supported by the client or just for specific devices such as disk drives or plug-and-play devices. If you disable client device redirection for all devices supported by the client, clipboard and audio redirection are disabled. The TS CAP summary page allows you to review the CAP settings and ensure that everything is correct before proceeding. Although connection authorization policies allow users to access a TS Gateway server, they do not allow users access to any specific resources on the corporate network. For this, we must create resource authorization policies, the RAP. Without a resource authorization policy, users cannot connect to any remote computer through a TS Gateway server. These two policy types provide two different levels of authorization to provide you with the ability to configure a more specific level of access control to corporate network resources. The first thing we must do when creating a RAP is to give the RAP a name. We'll name this RAP Contoso RAP. And after naming our new RAP, we then specify the user groups that will be associated with this RAP. We'll accept the default domain users. After setting the associated user group, we're able to configure the network resource to which they can connect. We're able to select an existing Windows group, select an existing TS Gateway Managed Computer group, create a new group, or even allow users to connect to any network resource. For this demonstration, we'll allow users to connect to any network resource. By default, Terminal Services clients connect to network resources remotely through TCP port 3389. We'll accept this default TCP port for incoming connections. The TS Wrap Summary page allows you to review the cap settings and ensure that everything is correct before proceeding. With the TS Cap and TS Wrap both configured, the wizard will create both policies. The Create Policies for TS Gateway wizard lets us know when it is finished creating the two policies. So we can see our newly created TS Cap in the Connection Authorization Policies detail pane. The Resource Authorization Policies view allows us to view, edit, or delete TS Wraps. Lastly, Terminal Services includes a new monitoring tool. You can get basic information such as where the connection is coming from and who it is. This tool is also IP version 6 compliant. Let's connect to the TS Gateway server now. Again, we will return to the Windows Vista client computer. When we enter the computer name, we need to supply our logon credentials. The SEADC01 remote desktop window opens, so we have successfully configured the TS Gateway server. Here we can see the server manager console for the remote computer. We'll log off from the remote server and continue with the rest of the session. The branch office scenario focuses on the security, management, and communication improvements that will be available for branch offices when Windows Server 2008 is deployed. For the branch office scenario, many different technologies will be utilized. For Active Directory, several technologies are used: the read-only domain controller, delegated domain administration, a restartable Active Directory, and sysvol replication using DFS. A read-only domain controller, or RODC, makes it possible for organizations to easily deploy a domain controller in locations where the physical security of a domain controller cannot be guaranteed. An RODC hosts a read-only replica of the Active Directory Directory Services database for a given domain. Prior to Windows Server 2008, users who had to authenticate with a domain controller but were in a branch office that could not provide the adequate physical security for a domain controller had to authenticate over a wide area network. In many cases, this was not an efficient solution. So by placing a read-only Active Directory database replica closer to the branch locations, users can benefit from faster logon times and have more efficient access to authentication resources on the network, even in environments with inadequate physical security to deploy a traditional domain controller. Other technologies used in the branch office scenario include file services, NetIO, the BitLocker drive encryption, and server core. Through the use of these technologies, the scenario improves the efficiency of branch office server deployment and administration, mitigates physical security risks in branch offices, and improves the efficiency of WAN communications. Delegating control of a domain controller is a very useful ability when dealing with branch offices. In this demonstration, we will see how to delegate control of a domain controller. Consider this branch office scenario in which we have a domain controller at a remote location that we would like to give limited access to with a local account. Using Server Manager, we can browse to the domain controllers within the Contoso domain. We'll select the SEA DC01 domain controller as the domain controller we want to delegate limited access to. The Delegation of Control wizard will help us to delegate control of Active Directory objects, such as our domain controller. Using this wizard, we can grant users or groups permission to manage users, groups, computers, organizational units, and other objects stored in Active Directory. In our example here, we will go ahead and choose the group Read-Only Domain Controllers as the group we want to give limited domain controller management access to. We can allow the user or group to perform many different Active Directory management tasks, such as create, delete, and manage user accounts, reset passwords, read all user information, create, delete, and manage groups, and many other management-related tasks. We can also create a custom task if the task that we want to delegate does not appear in the list of common tasks. For now, we will go ahead and allow our read-only domain controller group to reset user passwords and force password change at next logon. Delegation can be very useful to administrators within the branch office scenario when assigning administrative helpers limited access. This will enable them to perform specific management tasks without giving them full administrator rights and access. So that's the branch office scenario in brief. Let's move on to the security and policy enforcement scenario. The security and policy enforcement scenario focuses on the improved manageability and security compliance enabled by the policy-driven access features of organizations that have deployed Windows Server 2008 and with Windows Vista, Windows XP SB2, and Windows Server 2003 R2. Two primary technologies are the main focus: Network Access Services and Active Directory within the Network Access Services scope is Internet Protocol Security, or IPSEC, System Health Validator, System Health Agent, and the Health Certificate Server. Within the Active Directory scope is Domain Services, Lightweight Directory Services, Certificate Services, the Federation Service, and Rights Management Services. Using this scenario, we can check the health and verify compliance for roaming and visiting laptops and home computers. We can also simplify system updates, software updates, and application installation. With improved network authentication and encryption, we can enhance wireless network security. Additionally, we can securely extend and protect information and applications to business partners. The security and policy enforcement scenario also reduces the risk of unauthorized access through strong authentication, reduces the number of user accounts and repositories that need to be managed, and allows us to securely manage user accounts and information outside the data center. Once again, we ask several customers to share with us some applications of this scenario that they will be implementing. One of the main pain points of one customer is security, in particular access control and attacks protection. Security and privacy is very important to them because they work with sensitive data. They're interested in checking the health and status of computers connected to the enterprise and enforcing the security policy while simplifying the sort of administrative tasks. Another customer is interested in deploying and provisioning 2008 servers into their production infrastructure for their unclassified, classified, and secure networks. The 2008 server builds will be evaluated to ensure compliance with U.S. Department of Defense regulations regarding security hardening and encryption capabilities provided on the disk, application, and OS levels. The next scenario we'll be taking a look at is the web and applications platform scenario. The web and applications platform scenario focuses on the management, security, performance, and extensibility improvements that are available when Windows Server 2008 is deployed to host and manage applications and services running on the server or over the web. The technologies used include Internet Information Services 7.0, the .NET Framework 3.0, ASP.NET, Windows Communication Framework, the Windows Workflow Management, Windows Process Activation Service, and Windows System Resource Management. The web and application platform scenario has many benefits, such as efficient management of the web server, web applications, and web services, quickly deploying and configuring web applications and services across server farms, creating a customized web platform that's faster, more secure, and more reliable, improving performance and/or scalability of web applications and services, and finally, achieving the fine control and visibility into utilization of key operating system resources. One customer who offered an example use of this scenario said that they had a project to build a web hosting and software as a service on a Windows platform and to migrate a number of active sites from Linux to Windows. Another customer has its core applications running on Windows 2000 server and Windows Server 2003 servers with back-end SQL Server 2000 and SQL Server 2005 databases. As early as possible, they would want to take advantage of the application development environment enhancements, so they'd like to ensure the compatibility of their applications with Windows Server 2008. Yet another customer utilizes Windows Server 2003 Enterprise R2, both the 32 and the 64-bit versions, with SQL Server 2000 SP4 and SQL Server 2005 SP1. In production, these servers host more than 180 websites, having over 35 million visitors per month, and are rapidly growing. Recently, the use of VMware is being reduced or eliminated in production due to limitations in handling heavy web traffic loads in favor of Microsoft 64-bit operating systems on physical hardware. Finally, someone else informed us they want to move all their hosted environments to Server 2008 to take advantage of the virtualization, Internet Information Services 7.0, and the enhanced management capabilities. Their goal is to eliminate the manual effort and to automate the provision and management of their hosted services. They plan to deploy domain controllers, the web servers, file servers, and certificate servers. They're also interested in using WSS to provide SharePoint provisioning to customers using SSL. In the next demonstration, we'll see just how this works. In this demonstration, we will configure and use the TS website. Earlier, when we were discussing the centralized application access scenario, we took a look at terminal server remote programs. Expanding on TS remote programs is terminal services web access, or TS web access. TS Web Access is a new Windows Server 2008 feature that lets administrators make terminal services remote programs available to users from a web browser. With TS Web Access, users can visit a website to access a list of available remote programs. When he or she starts one of these programs, a terminal services session is started on the terminal server that hosts the remote program. Using this new feature will enable us to quickly and easily provide users with web access applications. This terminal server already has the TS Web Access service installed. Before Contoso users can begin using TS Web Access, it must be enabled for one or more remote programs. Earlier in the centralized application access demonstration, we created a remote program WordPad. TS Web Access was enabled by default during the setup of WordPad. If Contoso had a program in which we did not want to enable web access, TS Web Access can be removed. For example, let's add the calculator to a remote programs list and turn off TS Web Access for this program. During the initial setup, the properties dialog allows us to change several options for the programs. We can configure the location, alias, command line arguments, and whether it's available through TS Web Access. We'll clear the option for TS Web Access for our remote calculator. The calculator does not have TS Web Access enabled, and WordPad does. This option can be changed at any time. For example, if we want Remote Calculator published to the TS Web Access page, we can click Show in TS Web Access in the Actions pane. To access the configuration settings for TS Web Access, open the TS Web Access Administration website. When we deploy TS Web Access, we can specify the data source that will be used to populate the list of remote programs that will appear in the Terminal Services Remote Programs web part. We can specify either Active Directory or a single terminal server as the data source. By default, the data source is localhost. When the data source is Active Directory, the web part is populated by a .wrap-msi package that is published to a user through group policy. Because the information is obtained using group policy, TS Web Access will only display remote programs that are specific to the current user. By default, TS Web Access populates its list of remote programs from a single terminal server. When a single server is specified as the data source, the web part is populated by all remote programs that are configured for web access on that server's allow list and is not customized for the user. However, we can configure the TS Web Access web part to populate its list of remote programs from Active Directory domain services instead. Using this option will allow us to customize the list of programs per user. The TS Web Access is fully configured and ready for Contoso users. When accessing the TS Web Access website, we must use a domain authorized account, not a local account. If we were to use the local administrator account, we would not be granted access. Now, this new feature requires an ActiveX control. Fortunately, installing ActiveX controls is an easy process. After the ActiveX control is installed, we can begin using TS Web Access. As expected, both Paint and WordPad are shown in the remote programs list. Also as expected, the calculator is not shown because the TS Web Access option was not enabled for that program. Our Internet Explorer security settings will not allow an unauthorized site to launch a remote program. Before we can continue, we must add this website to our Trusted Sites list. We can find our Trusted Sites list in the Security tab of the Internet Options dialog box. We will just add the terminal server, seadco1.contoso.com, to our list of trusted sites. When we've done this, we will be able to launch remote programs from any website on that terminal server. When we try to launch WordPad, a warning appears letting us know we are about to open a remote program. When we select Yes, this website will be added to a list of trusted websites that we can run remote programs from. Again, we must use a domain-authorized account. This dialog box seems familiar. It's just like the other remote program dialog boxes we saw earlier when running other remote programs. This is just letting us know what resources are being made available to the terminal server. As we've just witnessed, with TS Web Access, a user can visit a website, view a list of remote programs, and then just click a program icon to start the program. The remote programs appear to act just like local programs. Users can minimize, maximize, and resize the program window, and we can easily start multiple programs at the same time. Because we already have a session open for a remote WordPad, another session is not started, and Paint launches automatically. When administrators deploy TS Web Access, the list of remote programs that appears in the Terminal Services Remote Programs web part is dynamically updated. For example, if we were to allow Remote Calculator to publish to TS Web Access, users would then be able to access that from the website with no additional actions needed. As we know, making a remote program available to TS Web Access is a quick and easy process. We simply turn on the option by selecting the appropriate option in the Actions pane. After refreshing the TS Web Access web page, Calculator is now shown in the list of programs available. If the calculator is not shown on the list, it will show up within the next 10 to 15 minutes. We can force the server to refresh the list of remote applications on the configuration page. Earlier versions of terminal services did not provide a mechanism to dynamically update a website with a list of remote programs. The dynamically updated program list and the ability to specify the remote program's data source simplifies the deployment of remote programs over the web. If administrators have a single terminal server, it's easy to deploy programs by using the terminal server data source. If remote programs are installed on multiple terminal servers, the programs can all be made available from a central location by using group policy. With group policy, the ability to provide a list of programs that is specific to the individual user results in a rewarding user experience and gives the administrator more control over the user experience. One last thing to note. A user can use this option if he or she is connecting on a secure computer. And for times when he or she is not using a secure computer, this flag can be cleared so that no passwords are saved. TS Web Access provides an out-of-the-box solution that administrators can deploy with minimal configuration. The TS Web Access web page and web part provided let administrators implement TS Web Access quickly and easily, and let them deploy TS Web Access by using a web page or by using Windows SharePoint services. Thus, with TS Web Access, administrators do not have to manually add a list of available programs to a web page to provide centralized web access to remote programs. The customizable web part gives administrators flexibility with regard to site appearance and deployment method. When we installed the Terminal Server Web Access role on our server, the required role Internet Information Services, or IIS, was also installed. As with other roles, we can easily review and manage the IIS role through the Server Manager. Our IIS role has 28 role services installed. IIS 7.0 is very granular and provides us with a high level of control over which role services are installed on our server. Because we are only using IIS for our terminal server web access site, we do not need a lot of additional options. For example, we don't need the FTP publishing service installed on our terminal server, so that option is not selected. This further increases the security and reliability of our server because we can reduce the number of components on the server that need to be updated and managed. In Windows Server Longhorn, when we choose not to install a component, it is not physically installed on the server, unlike in previous versions of Windows Server. Windows Server Longhorn introduces a new IIS manager that can be accessed through the Server Manager. We'll close the console tree to make the new manager easier to use. If we need to configure different IIS settings on the server, we can do it through the new IIS manager. We can modify different settings, such as ASP.NET settings, IIS-specific settings, or even management settings. Feature delegation pairs with the administrators feature to enable website administrators and web application administrators to view and configure delegated features in their websites or web applications from IIS Manager. The delegation state of a feature determines whether website administrators and web application administrators can configure the feature in their websites and web applications. Through the IIS Manager, we can easily manage server certificates. If, for example, we needed to create a new certificate for the server, we can quickly and easily create that request using the Request Certificate wizard. In previous versions of Windows Server, we would have needed to use multiple different interfaces to perform these actions, and it was much more difficult. With the IIS Manager fully integrated into the Server Manager, all of these tasks can be performed using the same tool. This makes management tasks much quicker and easier to perform. Providing highly available services to critical applications and services is a cornerstone of any IT department. This scenario focuses on high availability failover clustering improvements that will be available for applications deployed in Windows Server 2008. Failover clustering as part of Windows Server 2008 provides an easy-to-use feature for mission-critical applications and services. The primary technology for this scenario is failover clustering. In Microsoft Windows Server 2008, the improvements to failover clusters, formerly known as server clusters, are aimed at simplifying clusters, making them more secure, and enhancing cluster stability. By using the new Validate tool in failover clusters, you can perform tests to determine whether your system, storage, and network configuration is suitable for a cluster. With failover clusters in Windows Server 2008, administrators can carry out the following setup and migration tasks more easily than with server clusters in the previous releases. They can validate configuration before cluster installation. You can set up a cluster and migrate the cluster configuration information from one cluster to another. With the new management interface, complexity is reduced, which provides the user a simple interface to create, manage, and use clustered servers. With a reduction of upfront configuration issues via the new tools, support costs and implementation times decrease. Finally, new functionality allows implementation in geographically dispersed environments, allowing the technology to adapt to the customer's environment. One customer mentioned to us that file and print is business and mission critical for them, so they want to use geo-clustering functionalities that are available in Windows Server 2008. Another customer has an outsourcing support agreement with a business partner. The service level agreement of the contract says that most systems must be available all the time. For this reason, most systems must be clustered. Any movable server will be migrated to a virtual server and work as a cluster. Finally, one customer has a service in which they will provide two different SLA levels to the same client, one that's targeted for test and development environments, and one for the critical databases providing a clustered infrastructure with geographic data mirroring and geographically separated servers. Windows System Resource Manager will be implemented to avoid resource conflicts. The infrastructure will be based on large, multi-core servers with SAN storage and multi-mode cluster functionality. The service will need scalability by adding additional nodes to the cluster to be able to host SQL databases for over 100 outsourcing clients. So now that we've examined the high availability scenario, let's take a look at the server deployment scenario, which focuses on the imaging and deployment improvements that will be available for Windows Server 2008 in the Solution Accelerator for Windows Server Deployment and the Windows Automated Installation Kit. Windows Server and client technologies now share common deployment tools and practices. Windows Server 2008 deployment changes fundamentally from previous versions of Windows Server. Deployment tools delivered in the Windows Automated Installation Kit introduce new imaging and deployment technologies, ImageX, Windows System Image Manager, and Windows Deployment Services. The Solution Accelerator for Windows Server Deployment will provide comprehensive best practice guidance, tools, and aids to help you through the deployment process. The Windows Deployment Workbench snap-in included with this accelerator integrates automation tasks across Windows AIK and Windows Server 2008 tools to provide an improved deployment experience, from imaging and establishing software libraries to deploying and building task sequences. This scenario has particular value to Windows Server 2008 because the recommended deployment technology is based on the deployment of pre-configured server images and layering applications on top of these images. Legacy tools like automated deployment services and automated provisioning framework will not function with Windows Server 2008. With that brief review of the server deployment scenario, let's move on and take a look at the secure and reliable storage scenario. The secure and reliable storage scenario focuses on new storage workload functionality enabled in Windows Server 2008. The following roles and technologies apply to this scenario: the file server role, server backup, Volume Shadow Copy Service, or VSS, the Storage Explorer, Transactional File I.O., SMB 2.0, BitLocker, the encrypting file system, and, of course, Active Directory. Windows Server 2008 provides two new storage management consoles for the storage workload. The new Server Backup Management Console allows users to schedule backup operation to local disks, perform manual full backup operations to file shares, and many other tasks. The new Storage Explorer Management Console will allow administrators to visualize, monitor, and link to network management interfaces of individual devices with an iSCSI or Fibre Channel SAN. A new comprehensive transactional file I/O framework in Windows Server 2008 can help to ensure the overall integrity of data transfers that span the file system, databases, and the registry. There are also two new levels of encryption functionality that will be enabled in Windows Server 2008. Entire system and data volumes can be encrypted with the BitLocker functionality that leverages trusted platform modules and server platforms, and the new SMB 2.0 protocol will support client-side encryption in conjunction with EFS functionality. Two non-standard hardware components are required for the full volume encryption functionality enabled by BitLocker: the trusted platform module, or BIOS-enabled USB functionality for encryption keys. Identity and access is at the core of any secure IT environment. Windows Server 2008 provides an enhanced set of features that provide IT organizations with the core infrastructure foundation for identity and access. This scenario focuses on the complete set of services that customers need to provide user management, directory consolidation, single sign-on, strong authentication, and information protection and federation. Technologies used for this scenario are elements of Active Directory, the domain services, including the read-only domain control as we covered earlier, lightweight directory services, certificate services, federation service, and rights management services. This scenario has value to Windows Server 2008 because it helps to securely extend and protect information and applications to business partners. It reduces the risk of unauthorized access through strong authentication, and reduces the number of user accounts and repositories that need to be managed. It also securely manages user accounts and information outside the data center. Windows Vista also provides several integration points with these services. For example, Windows Vista vastly simplifies the use of smart cards. It provides an integrated RMS client as well for protecting information, and integrates with Active Directory domain services to enable functionality such as single sign-on. Smart cards are required for users who are looking to deploy strong authentication solutions and thus reduce the risk of unauthorized access. At the beginning of this session, we discussed the infrastructure optimization model. Let's review the core I/O and how it fit into today's session. The vision of infrastructure optimization is to help customers realize the value of their investments in IT infrastructure and to make the IT infrastructure a strategic asset that enables agility within their organization, and also to ultimately help customers create an infrastructure for a people-ready business. A people-ready business is an organization and infrastructure that is adaptive to the industry environment and have the ability to bring new products and services to market in a timely and cost-effective manner, all by connecting people, information, and business processes to increase market responsiveness and to help eliminate efficiencies. An optimized IT infrastructure operating efficiently and productively is developed upon IT standards, ensures confirmation to those IT standards, and supports cost reduction, security, and risk mitigation for the environment and users. The core infrastructure optimization model helps to drive demand for a more secure, well-managed, and dynamic core IT infrastructure to enable organizations to help reduce their overall IT costs, make better use of their IT resources, and to make IT a strategic asset for their business. The key challenge in this area is to support IT professionals in the management of servers, desktop computers, mobile devices, and the applications to help customers eliminate unnecessary cost and complexity and to ensure that their business is always up and running, as well as to establish a responsive infrastructure. The product workload scenarios we've discussed today accomplish these very tasks. Each specific product workload scenario addresses a very specific IT challenge. As we learned today, each of these scenarios addresses these challenges through a simpler and easier-to-use management tool, thereby reducing unnecessary cost and complexity. That just about wraps up this session, so let's review what we've covered. At the start of today's session, we introduced the three design pillars that the product workload scenarios fit into: more control, greater flexibility, and increased protection. Now, the idea behind these pillars is to enable you to spend less time on these everyday tasks and to quickly respond to changing business needs, as well as to harden the operating system and to protect your environment. Each scenario fits into one of these three pillars. Now, the only exception is the branch office scenario, because it doesn't fit into any one pillar, but rather all three. During the session, when examining the scenarios, we discussed how each scenario adds value to Windows Server 2008. Some of the scenarios had special requirements. If this was the case, we made sure to examine those requirements. For example, the identity and access management scenario required smart cards for users wanting to deploy a strong authentication solution. To get more information about the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information about Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/add-314 for more information about books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that are related directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, which includes e-learning, MS Pressbooks, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implementation solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. There are 22 online and instructor-led courses available that cover Microsoft Windows Server 2008. One of the most useful is 5934, which is an online collection composed of 5 clinics where you're introduced to the new features and functionality in Windows Server 2008. 5939 is another online clinic where you learn the new tools and improved features for server management and administration of Windows Server 2008. This includes PowerShell task automation, remote administration, performance, and diagnostic tools. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There's also an assessment program available that can help you to test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to test their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which has links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are also available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional. You can choose to become a fully certified system administrator, or MCSA, or a systems engineer, an MCSE, or a desktop specialist, the MCDST. The new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, or MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, the MCITP credentials, provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to the skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll be interested to hear about. To help explain this further, here's Ian Brackenberry, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions and, through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.